and made an issue of that. But on the other hand, you could not have a situation where workers in the telephone exchange were controlling whether or not a government minister should get his phone call or not. That seems to be fairly well established. And if that was the situation, then I think the government was, well, ready to react and bring Catalonia, if you like, into the rest of Republican Spain.
Do you think there was any point where the party in Spain, with the Republican government, tried to go too far to conciliate with the lower middle classes and middle classes in Spain?
Well, if you look at the voting figures from the 1936 election figures, you'll see what a mass basis the, well, middle class parties had, or the Republican parties, and there would have been no possibility of winning the war unless that mass basis had been kept, and also providing a situation where Franco's base was kept at a minimal situation.
Do you think the second objective possibly more important than the first, the second reason more important than the first? That is, showing that it was a stable democratic republic as well. That is, with a large middle class section appealing to that.
Well, that was essential for military reasons. You cannot... If you reorganize a factory under workers' control, production problems are intense. But the old manager, who might have been making a profit out of it, at least knew how to run his factory. And there is no doubt at all that the production on the lands of Aragon and Catalonia, which had been taken over, production fell, and the towns of Aragon looked after their own interests, and the sending of supplies and food and men which were needed to meet the fascist offensive was an absolute minimum. So that the original sort of verve and enthusiasm of the anarchists who went so far into Aragon, when they met opposition, just sat down. And so that Franco was able to launch his offensive against the Basque and the Asturias without, if you like, being harassed or facing what could have been an extreme threat to his rear,
yeah,
or to his flank.
Pushing through to Orkney,
yes,
Bar.
Yes.
Just a side note on this, Orwell wrote about the Aragon Front in the very early days, didn't he? He,
yes,
went out and joined a Pune battalion.
Yes.
From what you saw when you went up there, how accurate do you think his description was of the type of life in the Aragon trenches?
Well,
and the fighting of the Pune and so on.
When we went there, it was like going into a dream world. We'd been in the trenches, the battalion had been in trenches at Jarama, we'd been in trenches at Teruel, and you always try to make yourself as comfortable as possible. But when we took over positions from anarchist battalions, they were sitting a mile or 2 miles away from the fascists, and their dugouts weren't, if you like, a shelter and a temporary home. They were permanent homes. I remember very clearly going into one, and there were beds constructed of woven bamboo, which were an extreme luxury. They could tell you how many fascists and how many dogs there were opposite them. But from the point of view of, well, when they'd gone to beat one of these up, you know, and the whole, if you want to keep a front alive, you'll go out patrolling every night and a number of small actions so that the enemy can't thin out his line, he's got to keep his forces there. There was nothing was happening, and it was as a it was partly to offset that that the first Aragon offensive was launched. Can I tell now this little story? In the very early days of the war, it was decided to send over a party of skilled British aircraft engineers, and at that time Britain was leading the world as far as aircraft, you know, we had the Spitfire was beginning to develop. So a party of six men, all of them extremely experienced aircraft engineers from Britain, went to Barcelona. And the idea was that they went to the Hispano-Suiza works, which is just north, and take part in the repair and the servicing of the aircraft that were there. But these men were given an absolute runaround. They were asked to file a piece of metal to a certain thickness before to prove their skill. They were not allowed into the, and of course that's a thing that an apprentice in Britain learns in his first 6 months. And then these lads had not only passed through all their apprenticeship, but had been working for years and were very reliable. So they were given a complete runaround and were never allowed in the factory. Until finally, in disgust, Harry Pollitt said, come home. Now, I found out afterwards that in this aircraft factory there were two unions, CNT and UGT. And in the immediate, in the early days when in Barcelona there was quite a bit of indiscriminate shooting, the secretary of the UGT of this factory was shot, and the CNT took over control of the factory. So that, in fact, this country, so that, well, I wouldn't like to exaggerate what a contribution these men could have made, but they certainly knew more about aircraft engines than anyone else in Spain at the time. The servicing of the Soviet planes were certainly carried out very much under UGT control. They were never allowed into the anarchist-controlled factories.
Looking back after, what, 40 years since it started, have you been back to Spain since then?
No, I wouldn't go back for emotional reasons. And until recently for safety reasons. I've been active in the, countless demonstrations outside the Spanish Embassy in London, and I personally would be afraid that I might have been involved in a motor car accident or something like that, but no, I don't think that's the situation, but I don't think would like to go back until fuller democracy has been established.
What do you think of Spain at the moment? I mean, you've seen, presumably seen pictures of Madrid as it is today and so on. What's your impression?
Well, I'm certain I should never recognise. I've done that once in my life. I was at Anzio and during World War II, and I went back to a place of very unpleasant and hard memories by a little stream when the Germans were 20 yards away and the sea was about 20 yards on the other, and we sort of lay in this shifting sand and threw grenades at one another. So when I went back, the beach was all large hotels and sort of private grounds keep out by this little river, which had now been done. So I decided, well, as I'd liberated the bloody place, I walked on the sand, but I felt, well, this is of no interest to me, except to see the changes which have taken place.
And what's, do you think the Spanish War has benefited you in any way as a person? Would you go again?
I would, if, and I say if, a similar situation rose again, and it never would, and never could now, I would undoubtedly go again if I had the physical and mental qualities which made me suitable for the job to be done.
Do you think it contributed in any way to you yourself, I mean, as a person, or knowledge of yourself, or comradeship, or?
Yes, I'm certain. I know myself much better. I now accept the fact that fear is a normal part of man's makeup, but when you've recognized it, you can live with it. I would say that's probably the main contribution to myself. It's undoubtedly raised the confidence in myself, in my own ability to face up to difficulties, both physical and mental. But the main thing that it's done to me is to raise my confidence in ordinary human people. It was one of the significant things in Spain how men, and I can only speak of men here, but I'm certain it applies to women as well, men continually showed new abilities and new qualities. I'm speaking first, perhaps in a superficial way. Some leader of a platoon or a company or a battalion was killed or put out of action. Somebody was always there to take his place. But it goes much deeper than that. I mean, in some of the very sort of difficult and more trying periods when you were perhaps hungry or morale was a bit low, there was always somebody there with who showed the courage to not only lift up themselves, but lift up everybody else. And in the whole of my stay there, it was tremendously heartening to see the profound good there is in men, that either that people who might be down and demoralized or disaffected, but in a collective, given help from others, could overcome their problems and show themselves as sort of true men. And so my experience in Spain, most of all, has raised my confidence and my pride in being a man.
Okay. Yes, I think that's right. Fine.